about a specific situation of a person who in loss or need, our neurology still picks it up because we are not separate. And it's almost an animal instinctive sense that like, ooh, something is off kilter. So I've certainly seen more people experiencing anxiety and at times not even recognizing like, is this my anxiety or is it the anxiety?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here again on another brand new episode. Oh, my gosh. We are in 2021. Can you believe it? I can't. I'm still kind of feeling 2020. I'm wanting it to be in hindsight. So I called my dear friend and just amazing, extraordinary coach to Bev Martin to chat with us about, okay, if some of us are feeling a little traumatized or whatever by 2020 and just really wanting to put it in hindsight and perspective, what can we do? So let me give you a quick rundown of the amazing Bev Martin. She's a natural and trained intuitive, a certified professional coach, a member of ICF, that's the International Coaching Federation. She's a master practitioner of NLP, as well as a certified facilitator of clean language, symbolic modeling, and a certified hypnotherapist, plus so many other extraordinary things. So welcome, Bev. Thanks for being back on the show.
Oh, thanks, Sharon. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, and I just love the way you can view things. And I was going to say reframe, but I'm not sure that's really what you do. I think you just have such an amazing perspective on things. And I'm telling you that from my perspective and probably a few others, it was a crazy year. It was one of those where I just laugh how 2020 and hindsight go together in our vernacular. And boy, they seem to just to fit together that 2020, I'm happy it's in my hindsight now.
Absolutely.
So My question for you, I mean, we're going to get into some really good things too, people. We're not going to dwell on hindsight here, but some things I've noticed, and the reason I called you to have you on the show was, so I had to go. I've been trying to get a hold of this service company for months on the phone. And you think I could do that and get them to get me an appointment to come out and fix something?
Oh,
it was incredible. So finally, I got up the courage not too long ago, you know, suited up, drove over to one of their service offices. And lo and behold, they sent someone out the same day.
Oh, wow.
It was really shocking. But the experience that I had as I walked up to that, I noticed it was kind of crowded. Now, everybody had masks on and the appropriate places had the so-called plastic shields that, you know, have edges. I'm like, well, I don't think the virus doesn't know to go around these edges, but that's another story. I noticed that the old amygdala just started freaking out. So let's talk about how I'm going to use the royal we here, have been trained to be a little hypervigilant this year.
Absolutely. And it's on every level. You know, our body is aware. I noticed that even in a movie, if a movie was filmed, obviously most movies were filmed pre-COVID, but when there's a gathering, I even notice in the movie, I'm like, oh, all those people are awfully close together. I'm like, Bev, it's a movie. You know,
where I go, they don't have a mask on.
They don't have a mask on. And have your dreams included masks?
Some of them, which kind of freaks me out. Because I don't want to wear this thing the rest of my life.
No, but it struck me. It's like, wow, even in my deep unconscious where I could choose to be anywhere and do anything, I'm wearing a mask, or I'm, you know, focused on that. So I do think we've gotten jumpy. And, you know, there's a range between becoming aware and vigilant and careful, and then this neurological sense of like alarm that our bodies register, like, you know, when you see a lot of people. And I think we have all been, at least for this year, and, you know, certainly any of us who have lived for more than 5 minutes have been in traumatic situations. But to have it be so global, where everyone is in a traumatic situation, where we couldn't even say, well, if this doesn't pan out, I'll move to Spain. Oh, right. Like, this is happening collectively to us all. And so our neurology has been running threat for a long time. We've been holding our breath. So it's a lot. And if all we've learned is that one can't be in threat and holding our breath for a year, even though we have done, we've had to learn some ways to cope and ways to soothe and ways to manage ourselves through this. And we could call that resilience. I think we've all become certainly much more resilient.
Yes. And I still... Right. Find myself, I'm like, oh, Sharon, sort of pep talking in a negative way, and I want some of your luscious reframe. Is, yes. Oh, Sharon, you know, put on your big girl panties, go in there, right. Get this taken care of. You're only going to be in there 5 minutes, and then the next thing you know, that night, you're, you know, scrolling through news feeds, and it talks about somebody who hyper careful, and they go to the grocery store, and ten days later, they have it or whatever. Absolutely. I'm just like. It seems like a constant barrage. So
it has been. And, you know, that's part of the challenge is knowing for ourselves, you know, how much of this threat affects me personally, right? And of course, people have made that decision on a range. But I wonder if it's helpful is to be in charge of it to some extent, to go, okay, so this is happening. Appears that the sky is falling. What does that mean to me personally, and how might I be in relationship with it so that it's not an absolute, if we get the news or we're in a situation where our body is like, oh, that we still have choice. And I think that choice always gives us a feeling of some control. We don't have control over everything, but we have a choice about, do we go into that busy place or not? You know, or this busy place over that busy place, or no, thank you. So I think always to be in that place of like, what's my choice here? Because the feeling of we have no choice is terrifying. And I think that's part of what happens to the neurology is if anything that has us feel like I am helpless. You know, it isn't true, but it is useful to help our body to know I am in charge of this much. I'm in charge of what I'm wearing on my face to protect myself. I'm in charge of my frame. And I think for frame, for me, what I've noticed is as a natural people person is how my face aches at the end of the day when I have been wearing a mask, if I've been anywhere, is that I'm smiling so hard because I really want to convey non-verbally to other people, we're okay, you know, and I'm so grateful for someone's eyes that crinkle up at the sides when they smile at me. So
the old age eyes, so okay,
right. I've got extra crinkled eyes after 2020. So I think we are trying to find ways to let each other know, okay, phew, we're okay. But to the self-talk is really important to say, you know, what choice do I have here? And can we do all the things that help us be safe? And that's part of it. We don't really know what they are. We haven't had a lot of really clear guidance about what those are. But can we do the things that make us safe without having to have fear prompt it? You know, can we make a choice rather than I'm afraid, so what am I going to do? But it's like, huh, you know, what is the lay of the land? What is the situation? What's my choice around it? And, you know, as an intuitive, of course, my bias is I really would encourage us to use our intuition, but intuition and fear live right next to each other. Mm. You know, and so it's often like if we get that little kick in the gut, is it telling me to be afraid? What action shall I take? You know, our neurology has been running fear, and in many ways, it's almost like if we haven't been afraid, we haven't been watching the news or got the memo. It's not enough to just choose to close off those sources of information because we need them too.
I know that as we were talking about this, and as I started to hear your response, I thought of my questions thinking, well, that's a rather privileged kind of fear, just being afraid to go into a place. I've been blessed. I'm still working and things like that. So I'm really blessed. And so other people's fear is much more the survival mode. But I noticed as you were talking about choice and understanding that fear and intuition and choice are all very interrelated, understanding that that method works, should be implemented, whether in my case it was more of a privileged type of fear.
Right, you really did have a choice.
Versus having, say, lost my job or lost my medical insurance, which would be much more fear-based and actually I could see making longer-term cortisol spikes.
Right, right. Wherever we can say, like, in what way am I in charge? And the frightening thing is, you know, it's both we are not so much in charge and at least we have some choice, but fewer and fewer. And so to recognize, you know, what choice do I have?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring up what choice do I have. I read a quote a long time ago that was like said, you know, not making a choice is still a choice.
Right.
And oftentimes I find that when the choices become more and more limited, it's so tempting to make no choice or to freeze.
Yes.
It's this fight, flight, or freeze, and the freeze kicks in, and then, wow.
And it is scary. And I think too, that people have been like, when there is a general feeling of we are afraid, because we are, and we would be foolish in a way not to be aware of what's threatening us, is that my sense is also that we pick up on each other's concern and fear. You know, we are not separate even if we think that we are. So even if we're in our little safe bubble and we feel I'm all right, our physical neurology is still saying, you know, in the tribe, in the family, the bigger group to which we belong, things are not well. So even if we don't know with our mind about a specific situation of a person who is in loss or need, our neurology still picks it up because we are not separate. And it's almost an animal instinctive sense that, like, ooh, something is off kilter. So I've certainly seen more people experiencing anxiety and at times not even recognizing, like, is this my anxiety or is it the anxiety that we're tapping into?
That's a good distinction. Is it my anxiety or the anxiety? I'm glad you brought that up because it made me think of how many times I'll just be walking around the neighborhood. And in all honesty, I don't wear a mask when I'm out there by myself and nobody's around. And then maybe somebody will come, all of a sudden they'll, you know, go to the other side of the street, or at times I've chose to go into the other side, but how many, 30, 40 feet away? I don't know what that width is.
Right.
It's interesting for me to ask myself that question. Is it my anxiety that I'm picking up on, or is it their anxiety? This whole idea of mass anxiety is an interesting topic to explore.
Because, you know, we're all in it. You know, I used to experience the opposite sense of we're all in this together, you know, having grown up in South Africa as I did. And there certainly was because of the laws and circumstances, things were tense and difficult. And certainly much more tense and difficult for certain members of the population than others, right? So some people could go, la, 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 go through life without being completely aware of, like, hey, we are not well, right? Because each person might more easily sort of assume their own okayness without recognizing as a collective, as a group, as a family, the family of man, we are not well. But as a child, I used to love when the rains would come. And of course, I lived in a climate where sometimes there would be years of drought. There were some children who were 7 years old who'd never seen rain in certain parts of the country. In the small town that I grew up in, I remember well that there would be times when it would be hot, 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 and suddenly, pew, the heavens would open and everyone would have to scurry and we'd run. And in those moments when we were all running in the rain, we would make eye contact with people that normally we might not be on the same page or being allowed to connect with. This was one of the few experiences that we could say, oh, this is happening to all of us. It is raining on everyone. And it was beautiful, you know, to have that experience of oneness in a culture where oneness was seldom experienced. It was like, so something bigger than us happened to all of us that helped us to know, oh, look, we are all in this together. So that's a positive example. COVID, I think, also has had those experiences, for better or for worse. In the fear aspect, it's like, whoa, there is nowhere I can go where this is not happening. So it's the other extreme of, oh, this is happening to all of us. What meaning can we make of that? We are all in this together, depending on how we feel. But I feel like if anyone is threatened, we are all really experiencing threat, whether we know it or not. And perhaps there's a way of looking at that that says, there may be a gift in this is happening to us all, rather than the logical mind that might say, yikes, no way to go to get away from this.
Absolutely. And as you were talking about it, I was thinking about how the majority of generations still here have not experienced a global catastrophe. And so I think in World War II, I'm sort of going, a lot of people that are here now, this is their first time where it's been a collective fear, a larger fear that was, there was really no place to escape to. As you said, well, I'll just move here or there, or I'll go here and there. And all of a sudden your passport's no longer valid, you know, there. It's quite a surprise to a lot of us. And I know you and I have a mutual friend who says, surprise is the enemy of competence. Yes. And I am telling myself that all the time. Two things go through my mind half the time when things go here, and I'm just like, well, that was unexpected. Or I mean, try and make not a joke of it, but trying to make light of it, like, yes, well, it's 2020, why am I surprised?
Exactly.
Or I was saying to a friend in the UK the other day, we're talking about one thing that popped up, and there was this headline I sent her. When I read the article, it was a bit of a non-thing, but the headline was so great. It was said that this asteroid was going to like skirt through the atmosphere on Christmas Day. And their birthday is on the 24th. And I sent them that, just the headline, you know, and I said, you got birthday plans? And, you know, we jokingly got on Zoom and said, yeah, sure, why not?
Why not that, you know, murder hornets, asteroids, you know, why not? We have gotten, you know, a good sense of humor about expect the unexpected, which may be useful in the long run. You know, we've been pushed out of our ruts, for better or for worse. We've had to adapt. We've had to make changes. We've been compelled to be really flexible, if nothing else.
Well, that's for sure. Really flexible. Now, one thing, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about this really flexible. I think a lot of people with an autoimmune diagnosis have a lot of that flexibility already, for better or for worse, as you say, but the understanding that when I talked to some of my friends who did not have pre-existing health issues before having the virus and the mask and all of that kinds of, the worry about all of that, and they were complaining to me, I just kind of looked at them, you know, jokingly raised an eyebrow or dropped my glasses and said, well, welcome to my world. I mean, not that it's funny, but sometimes you just have to find the dark humor and things. So we need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Bev Martin about making meaning, finding new ways, and what can we do to make 2021 feel like we're more in control of it, shall I say. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Bev Martin. She's a certified professional coach, member of the ICF, master practitioner of NLP. I can just go on and on, but as you see, she has lots of insights. And what I wanted to talk about, since we're just right here into 2021, about setting a path that isn't propelled by fear and being scared and surprised. Bev, I want to move forward in this section. So we've talked about fear, fight, flight, or freeze. We talked about sort of some of the issues of how we can start to feel like we're in control. Give us some more tips about the self-talk that we give ourselves to maintain that we can feel like we still have choices.
Part of it is really just recognizing, you know, what do I want to have happen? And in a way, it seems like a luxury question when it appears like everything's going to pieces, to go, you know, what do I want to have happen? And yet it's still important to ask it. You know, if we're standing in a river full of crocodiles, we still want to know, okay, this is the situation. What do I want to have happen? I want to get out, you know, whatever it might be. And so
I want to do that cartoon where the little rabbit jumps on the heads of all the crocodiles, makes yes. birds out of it, and jumps onto the shore and runs away, you know.
Exactly.
That's what I want to have.
Because as soon as we can even ask ourselves, given all of this, what do I want? Or what do I choose? We then at least connect with our own will. And we then also connect with our creative mind, which says, you know, hey, I could hop on the back of the crocodiles, or what do I want to do with this? Because if we don't ask ourselves, what do I want here? The feeling of, oh no, this is happening. Oh no, and that is happening. It puts us in a victimhood position. It puts us in a place of things are happening to me. And when we can instead ask the question, what do I want? We can at least discern what can I happen to, you know, where can I have an impact? Where can I be at effect rather than, you know, having things affect me? So my bottom line question always is, what would I like to have happen? And, you know, it's one of the things as coaches, when we ask someone, when we might hear, whoa, the challenges that people are facing in the midst of things, it's like, whoa. And then in the middle of all of that, as we might truly, truly empathize with a person's challenges, to remember to ask, and in the middle of all of that, this challenge, that loss, that difficulty, whew, breath, what would you like to have happen? And it's almost like we forget to ask ourselves that. So that would be one place to remember to ask yourself, what choice would you like to put into place here?
That's a good one. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a good one. And one other just side note that I was thinking about body language when we talked about that was, as we're asking that question, I like to do run through sort of some body somatic types of things, making sure my tongue isn't glued to the roof of my mouth, relaxing my throat and jawline so I can breathe deeper, maybe thrusting my shoulders back a little bit to make sure my chest is wide open. Because asking the question is an awesome question. And yet if my body's not engaged in such a way that I can really feel it, being a kinesthetic, I get into this more than some, but that I can really feel some groundedness, making sure my feet are square underneath me and I feel like I'm in balance. I'm not, one foot isn't in front of the other. I feel like I'm off balance or anything like that. That helps ground those questions, those awesome questions.
So you're true. Even as you say, breathe deeper, my body goes, oh, yeah.
You know. I'm sure everybody checked where was their tongue the minute I said, is it glued to the roof of your mouth?
My body was like, thank you, right? So such a good point is like, you know, because we are mind, body, and spirit, that mind is a significant part of it, but really body is the leader. And so when your body can breathe and you can root your feet on the floor, and with the breath comes more ease, and then it's almost like the body is telling the rest of our neurology, hey, everything is okay because there's air.
Right. And then that takes me down a rabbit hole, Bev, that we'll just explore. Neither of us are experts in this, I know, but I just want to give voice to it, is the mask and the feeling of not enough air. I can do okay in the mask for short periods of time. But honestly, on the times where I've had to wear it longer periods of time, I come home, rip that sucker off, and I am so fatigued.
Yes.
All I want to do is take some nice deep breaths. And it, where I live right now, it's quite cold, but nothing felt better than to just
fresh
40 degrees air. Fahrenheit air, you know.
Yes.
Just sucking
I
in the cold
get
air.
In the car and rip that mask off with the same glee as I normally take off my bra at the end of a day. You know, it's kind of like, let's get that thing off, you know? And yeah. And, you know, I wonder, I remember saying to someone in one of the grocery stores early on that I know, because of course my glasses fog up and everything. And I think I can't think because I'm not breathing fully, you know? And I said to a checkout person, it's like, oh gosh, I'm sorry, I think I can't think when I can't breathe. And the checkout person schooled me and said, well, studies show that you're breathing just as perfectly fine as you are. So it's like, okay, that may be true. But I noticed that I have to make a bit of an effort to remember that I have access to air and that I can breathe even though that cloth is there, because it does feel like an obstruction and we need breath. And so, you know, to give ourselves that breath in the moment seems important to do no matter what.
Absolutely. And I don't care what research says. If my amygdala has been activated,
right,
it has nothing to do with the physiology, the physical makeup of that mask and whether the air flows correctly or not. I'm not breathing very deep if I'm in fight, flight, or freeze. I'm breathing very shallow and rapid, and something about that mask and then the combination of the walking into a situation unknown, et cetera. It may not be actually the mask and the science of the air flow through the mask.
It's
a combination of all the other things going around that has me in high breathing.
We're not breathing. And, you know, even just your eyes landing on people who are masked, you can't see their whole face.
Eyes look as scared as yours.
Right, sure. Exactly. I find that nerve-wracking. It's like, you know, I wish I could really see your face. You know, there's a few people, in fact, at our dentist, they wear clear masks, but they're very clear and they're very small. They don't really do the job. So it's like, well, I like that I can see your face, but boy, you know, I'm not sure that it's adequate coverage. So we've got an invisible threat. And then the feeling of not being able to like really smile or be with others. So I love what your point about breath and, you know, giving ourselves the chance to breathe deeply, maybe even going into a situation or coming out of it with or without the mask to like take the air so that we're letting our neurology know, okay, all looks wacky and weird, but actually all is okay. We are safe in this moment. So, you know, as in the way that you might console a child, we need to do that with ourselves. Say, it's okay. You're all right. everything's okay. You know, any of that self-talk that may feel comforting in the moment, especially that which is true, truly comforting.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking about some of the things our mutual friend Sarah Payton would add to this in her resonant language work. By the way, she's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, Bev. And some of the things that she would say are things about saying, I wonder.
Yes.
Or talking to our inner child in such a way that would be, I wonder.
Yeah.
Sharon, that was scary, wasn't that? Or, you know, things like that. Just things that you would say to a child. I'm glad you brought that up because Sarah has this marvelous way and everyone check it out. It should be on the show in a couple of weeks. I love that ability to talk to the inner child and have those moments of soothing talk.
Yes.
Sometimes I hear people sort of beat themselves up. You're okay.
No. It's going to be like, I've got your back. You're all right. Because of course, whenever we're in a position of soothing another person, part of the way that we do that is that we have something to offer them because we have a strength that we're drawing on. Why shouldn't that person be ourselves? You know, draw on a strength and say, I got you. We're okay. We'll be in and out. All is well. I got you. You're fine. So, you know, any of those, it must feel true. No, we're not faking ourselves out. We must be truly comforting and nurturing to a younger part of ourselves. And typically a fearful part will feel younger, even if it's same chronological age as ourselves. It'll feel younger, more vulnerable.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I think talking to our inner self, and then also sometimes I ask whose voice is that? If it's a weird, fearful fear, like I'm like, why am I getting a rush here? Or why am I getting something
right
in this moment when logically, you know, no one's around, whatever.
Right.
Why am I getting this weird rush? Sometimes I'll stop and wonder, like, is that my voice saying
yes.
that? Or is that my intuition saying that? Should I listen? Or is that...
You can interview it too. You know, if you have a voice that isn't truly nurturing or soothing you, but perhaps its intention is to warn you, or, you know, you can interview it. You can ask that voice, you know, so the first consideration is to always be curious and somewhat grateful. You know, some part of you has mustered up the energy to get your attention. And so to say, oh, thank you. Thank you. But I find that by saying thank you helps me to remember that there's a positive intention somewhere, which also keeps me out of threat. Oh, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Da, da, da. But to also ask that inner voice, what is it that you want for me that's good? What do you want for me that's good? In a way, almost like if there's a voice of alarm, you know, a voice said, watch out, you'll be careful. Be like, oh, thank you. And what do you want for me that's good? Because we don't want to just be alarmed. I have on my Waze app that gives me directions. It says, watch out, car on shoulder ahead. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could change that because the watch out kicks me into like, oh, watch out. You know, so if it could only say, just letting you know, or don't, you know. So if you have an inner voice that has the equivalent of that watch out, you want to say, thank you. What do you want me to know that's good? You know, in how many ways are you on my side helping me? So that we're employing that voice rather than being at the mercy of it.
And I like the way you phrase the question, that's good or helping me, because as you started to go into that question, I was finishing it in my mind for Absolutely. My highest and best good or my highest and best self. And sometimes that another part of me argues like, no, we just want out. I'm not here for the highest and best good at this moment. It's just my
efficient.
Run, yeah. Girl.
Yeah. What do you want for me that's good? Well, also sometimes the what do you want for me can be different in a way than like the instruction that we're being given. It's a higher order. You know, what do you want from me that's good? I want your safety. Well, okay, then I'm listening. What do you want from me that's good? I want your ease. Okay, I'm on board. Because in a way, it's like asking that voice, what's in it for me to listen to you? what's good about this? And if it isn't, we again have a choice to not listen or to change the, you know, it's kind of like you can do on those apps too. You can have the person giving you directions have a different voice. It's like, if I'm going to listen to you, it needs to be pleasing or remind me what's in it for me to listen to this inner voice? I think what also happens when we can dialogue that way with our inner voice is when your inner voice knows you're listening, it begins to speak more nicely to us. You know, if you know you're being heard, you don't have to go, alarm, alarm, peepaw, peepaw. You just say, Sharon, there are a lot of people in that store. Perhaps come back on Tuesday when it's not so busy, right? You can dialogue with yourself rather than like being pushed into alarm.
Well, it's funny to say that because, like I said, I was finishing that sentence but you didn't finish it the way I expected. Because I've always heard that my highest and best good, and there's some part of that that other parts of me react to, like, yeah, no.
Just give me good stuff and give it to me now. So, you know, what do you want from me? That's
good. Exactly. Exactly. So it's interesting how we argue with ourselves all the time. We've been talking a lot about just sort of the craziness of 2020 and some of the things that we can do, as well as now these ways to reframe it. When we come back from this quick commercial break, Bev, I want to talk about setting the course. Everything's been such a surprise and many things are still unsettled. Still, I mean, oh, sure, life was a surprise pre-pandemic too, for sure. But we had some sense of normalcy about it. I want to talk about this idea of normalcy, how I get annoyed at the idea of new normal and just setting a path for a more positive 2021. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Bev Martin, and she is a natural and trained intuitive, a certified professional coach, a member of the International Coaching Federation, a master practitioner of NLP, certified hypnotherapist, and just amazing use of language. And that's why I had her here, because I wanted to talk, as we've shared already, about getting 2020 in hindsight. And in the last, 17 minutes or so that we have, I want to talk about setting a positive course for 2021, even though now we still know there's plenty to do. There's plenty of things that may be a surprise or feeling like they're coming as a curveball to us. But as I think about the old normal, yeah, I was more used to it and sort of had a rut. But then again, things were always surprising me then there. So now I guess I'm curious, why am I surprised now? And how do we start a positive
Great
course?
Great question. Well, you know, there's a spiritual perspective and then also our thinking perspective. We'll touch on both. One thing I've seen throughout 2020, even with all the curveballs and all the challenges, is that in a way, we still have only one job. From a spiritual perspective, our one job is to become ourselves fully and completely. And in some ways, I've seen people being able to do that more readily because of the being out of the rut and because of like what is normal being up for debate. In some ways, some people have been able to see themselves more clearly because the backdrop has fallen away. So if we take that as our one job is to become ourselves, and so taking that into 2021 to go, you know, in how many ways can I become even more of who I am? And that helps us rally around the things that we always hold true, whether we're conscious of it or not, which is, what do I value? What matters most to me? What is important that I want to keep in my hand, and what can I let go of, right? We've let go of so much, just recognizing like, oh, you know, what I thought was important is not so important. And so now with this wisdom that we've gained from a very difficult year, we can take that into our new experience and go, knowing what I know now, that every day is a new day, let's get curious, because we really don't know. But knowing what I do now about who I am and who I'm becoming, what's most important about that? And so we can set a kind of intention for our own development, our own self-expression, our own creativity, our own spirituality, because it seems that not any of those things are affected by the stock exchange, the weather, those are things that's our job anyway. So to be able to focus on that, and the three questions I like to use as for planning almost anything, including a whole year ahead, is, you know, when this year, say when 2021 goes just the way I would like, what? Now, there's a little risk in that because, of course, we're not in charge of everything, but we still do get to choose, is as far as I can choose, what would I love to have happen, create, participate in, experience in this year ahead. So first question, you know, what would I like to have happen when this year goes just the way I would like? What's that like? So it makes us conscious of some of those things that we value, and we might put it on a vision board or write it on a sticky, or, you know, I have one of those magnetic whiteboards on my fridge that is like, all ideas, so that we make conscious, what would I like to have happen when this year goes the way I would like, which you'll notice is completely different from dread, right? Dread is, oh God, please don't let it be as terrible as the last year was. Well, that doesn't move us. That doesn't put us in a new, that has us still sitting waiting for the next shoe to drop. So
I think it contracts our imagination too.
Absolutely. And I notice that my body goes, even when I'm just using as an example of dread, oh no, like it, I concave, whereas, whew, what would I like to have happen? You know, when it goes just as well as it possibly could. So it's reasonable. We're being reasonable. When it goes as well as it possibly could for each of us, that's like what? So we play with that, and you'll notice the like what is a kind of a invitation to a metaphor. Because we know that when we think in metaphor, often we can pack more meaning in than we might just say, I would like these events. We might say, it's like a symphony, or my 2021, when it's just the way I would like, for me is like walking through a meadow full of flowers, or it's like a party where everyone can sit at their table and enjoy a meal. We can have some fun with that. When you know what you'd like it to be like, the next consideration, again, in that sort of open mind, not with our logical mind as much as listening to our heart, would be, how would I like to be? How would I like to be in 2021? So I can rise to the occasion, that I can respond to the things that matter to me, that I can bring my values to bear. How would I like to be? So that's very different from, oh Lord, what's going to happen? It's like, oh, you know, we might choose to be flexible, creative, having our sense of humor intact. We might make a choice on how I would like to be. And then as part of that, we've talked in the beginning of our conversation that we are not separate, even when we think we might be. Recognizing that we're part of a bigger system, the family of human beings, and the tribes that we belong to, and the collective and the families and the groups, to go, what support do I need to become who I really am in this year? How might we offer support to one another, but also what support might I need? It could be, I need to get good sleep. I need to nourish myself well. I need to see my friends, even if it is over Zoom or a socially distanced cup of tea. So what would we like to create or participate in? How would we like to be? And what support or resources can we draw upon and offer so that each one of us becomes more of who we really are? Because when each of us becomes who we really are, we all win.
And I've found that even when it's the darkest and I'm thinking, oh, I don't see even a twinkle or a sprinkle of light, that coming from that place of metaphor and imagination and curiosity, it somehow sets the tone. I've been surprised at things that this year that have, I'll put in air quotes, come out of the blue. I've put out there that I wanted to do more of certain types of trainings and things, and I didn't, not in a grand way, you know, not in a major way, but a lot of setting my intention to do that and then laying some groundwork out there in it. And I've been amazed that just from that place of imagination, it's totally different than whatever I've done before. But I came like, wow, I could do that. And I think that'd be interesting. Yeah. I think people would be interested in that too. And that's my body language work for the teaching virtual body language, you know. And so I love those questions, because even in the darkest of times, just opening up and setting that place of imagination, it seems like, I don't know about you, but I've had this past year very odd things happen. I'll be thinking about someone or something, and 5, 10, maybe even 20 days later, the phone will ring.
Right.
Or something else will happen. Someone will send me an email, or I'll see a television commercial. I'll go, I was just thinking that would have been a good idea to invent that.
Absolutely. Right. It's like your intentions and your imagination are connecting you to this sort of invisible web of ideas. You know, I look at you and the people that you attract to your work and your show, you know, you are so connected, and, you know, it's fun to see. It's like, oh, Sharon knows that person too, or Sharon has interviewed that person whose book I've so read and admired. Like, Sharon knows them. So you have a way of like calling in people and ideas in a remarkable way. And I love that you're saying imagination, because if we can imagine it, you know, I mean, Einstein said imagination is more important than knowledge. When people say, like, I can't see it, or I can't imagine it, then they couldn't possibly bring it about. So the opposite is also true. When you imagine, you know, a well-sought-after author who you've longed to connect with actually on your show, I'm not at all surprised that you make that happen.
Yeah, I've had several of them. I've checked off my list where I was. And what was interesting about several of them, they were on my list long before the show, that someday I want to meet, you know, those types of things. And I was just like, wow, this is so amazing. I never thought that it would be the vehicle of the show, the Autoimmune Hour, that allowed me to do that. So it's really fascinating to me, coming from, as we've been talking about, this place of openness. And when it's surprise and everyone else seems to be running around in chaos, et cetera, it is more of a conscious effort on my part to keep bringing myself back to that place of listening and openness and comfort. And I guess I'm curious, am I the only one where I feel it takes effort to do that these days, or are other people feeling like it's just taking more effort than normal?
I think it does take more effort. And even to know what to want, you know, some people have, at the very beginning of 2020, in the middle, you know, early beginnings and middle of 2020, and people were saying things like, I just want things to go back to normal. And now we're going, well, what is normal? Do I really want things to go back, or, you know, how do I want things to move forward in a different way? So to use effort to just, you know, we're using our effort to steady ourselves, to connect with ourselves, but not to like go back in the box we just managed to get ourselves out of. So I think it does take a certain amount of effort. And yet imagination somehow has an ease around it, imagination and creativity, we can dream far more easily and connect to something greater than when we think, I have got to figure this out, right? As soon as we figure and we crunch up our eyebrows and we think really hard, none of us could have created a circumstance in which you meet a wonderful person that you've put on a list ages ago to meet with your logical thinking mind. You didn't strategize, you know, you weren't like, okay, I'm going to lie in wait outside that guy's house or that person's house. You know, you set your intention. You said, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be awesome if I could meet that person? And you had to see it to imagine it.
Yes.
So your consciousness begins to already adjust and go in that position. It's as if the universe says, oh, Sharon, is that what you'd like? Well, of course.
You know? Exactly. And I think keeping that open-mindedness of, is that what you'd like? Well, of course.
Of course.
And then acting on it. I know oftentimes, just because the introduction comes, I can think of a handful of times where, for whatever reason, I put it off. I wasn't ready. I want to be there, not here when I meet that person. You know, whatever these constraints I put on myself, and now that moment has gone and passed. So
you're talking about courage.
Yeah, it is courage to just be able to step into it and know that it's time. Yes. And what I'm fascinated is this idea of the old me was like, well, I got to figure this out first. I mean, the thing would happen. It was like, oh my gosh, I really have that opportunity. Now I have to figure it out. I was like, no. I
just say yes.
Yes, and it will figure itself out.
Right? I had that something like that happen years ago, many years ago, when I was still living in South Africa. I traveled to Calistoga, California, to take a bodywork class. And on the way back through New York, I had a choice. This is the nerd in me. I had a choice to kind of run around New York and explore. However, I had found a book, and it was Gary Zukav's book, The Seat of the Soul. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can run around the city or I can read the book. For better or for worse, I chose to sit and read the book, which it was a life-changing, marvelous book. And I had said to myself, you know, boy, wouldn't I love to meet Gary Zukav? And I put it in my mind, let it go. Years later, many years later, living here in Portland, going up an escalator in one of the nice hotels down in the city, going to a workshop. And I round the corner, and who is sitting there but Gary Zukav? And it also took a bit of courage, because I thought, I want to tell him that his book made a difference to me, you know. And so took a little courage, and I would say, I just want you to know. And he said, come sit. And we had a conversation. I met his wife, and, you know, and the little book reader in me is going, oh, right. But all of that had been put in place. And, you know, there it was. So the courage to go, I'm going to go say hi, is also, you know, part of that saying yes or sealing the deal, you know, as you did. Absolutely. But imagination, I think, is key. And I would love us to be really bold about what's the height of imagination for the year ahead. Like, when it goes even better than you can dream of, what's that like?
Years ago, I was taught by a friend who I was laying goals. And he said, always when you lay the goal, not so much about goals anymore, but they're broader now, but he said, always add or better at the end.
Yes. Can you give an example?
A few years ago, I was spending Christmas, New Year's Eve in a chateau in Northern France. Now, so I wrote a blog post about, who would have guessed that I would be spending this time in a chateau built in 1410 and, you know, still had pot marks from World War II and some of its stonework, and who would have guessed, right? And so I wrote this thing about my friend who had told me this, or better. And he dropped me a note and he said, see, I told you it worked. Because I had just told him I wanted to spend a holiday in Europe. I just really wanted to see what it was like to spend a holiday in Europe. And he said, see, I told you, it works.
Wow.
I had never said in that intention as a guest of the owners of this glamorous chateau.
Love it. or better. Yeah, that way we're not limited. If our dream isn't big enough, we're allowing the universe to say, hey, if you can dream bigger than me in this regard for my highest good, go for it.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're just down to the last couple of minutes, Bev. Time flies when I'm with you. Just adore you. Please tell everyone how they can get a hold of you and your website.
Well, I would love to wish everyone a very, very happy 2021. And I hope that you become even more of who you are. And you can find me on bevmartin.com.
Everyone, check out bevmartin.com. It's an amazing website. Get in contact with her if you would love to have more of this wisdom. She is an awesome coach as well. And thank you all for being here. And we made it through 2020. And I so appreciate you, every one of you listeners. It just means the world to me that we're changing the world together. So thank you. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.